When God set Joshua in charge of the children of Israel, he did so because they were about to inherit the land. But their word inherit and our word inherit are two different things. The things that God has set us in array to inherit means that you're about to have to strap on your battle armor and you have to go dispossess the enemy because somebody else, there's squatters on your land. There's somebody occupying your possession. There's something about a believer. They like a good fight. When you get sure of your weaponry, when you get sure of who's on the inside of you, the greater one, there's something about you. You like a good fight. Why? You've got all this armor. You've got all these weapons. They're designed to work in the midst of the battle. You're designed for the battle. You're designed for the battle, praise God. Nothing will ever satisfy a soldier of the cross until they actively partake in that which God has designed them to do. You're designed to defeat the enemy. You're designed not just to be an occupationary force, but you're designed with gifts, with weapons. You're designed to use those in the field of battle for which he's called you. Oh, nothing will ever satisfy until you get to use the weapons God's provided you with. Folks, most of the church is bored, frustrated, passive. Why? Because they've laid down their weapons. We've learned how to dance the victory dance. But let me give you a caution. Just because you've won a battle, it's not the war. Everybody say, press the battle. Press the battle. We've got to learn today how to do that. We've got to learn how today to press the battle. Every time the enemy comes up against you with resistance, every time it seems like your anointing is just gone, every time it seems like you can't go another step, you believe God as far as you can go. Church, it's time to take up the weapons and press the battle back on the enemy. Hallelujah. We cannot lay down our weapons in the fight of God. God's searching for an end time army. He's searching for people who are loaded. He's searching for people who are armed. He's searching for people who are ready, who will not flee at the first sign of resistance. When it comes, learn to press the battle. You cannot win wars by simply trying to maintain a position. An army that is not an advancing army is an army that is headed for defeat. We get one victory, and most of the church wants to lay down their weapons and party. There are battles that will never be won. Never be won. Until we, as a body of Christ, get the maturity to understand that there's still a work to do. Until the trumpet blows, there's still souls to be saved. There's still prayers to be prayed. There's still offerings to be given. Oh, there's still battles to be won. We cannot allow ourselves to move to a defensive posture. We cannot assume a defensive posture. We cannot say, we've gone this far, and this is where we will camp. This is where we'll put up a fortress, and this is where we will stay. We're going to defend this doctrine of the Holy Ghost. We'll not move from here, because we like it here. If that is what you have in fact done in your life, you have not developed a fortress, but you've built a tomb. Continually, in the Word of God, there were opportunities for men and women of God to say, that's it, that's it, that's it, I quit. I'm staying right here. The children of Israel, look at their history. Look at Joseph, moved from the dungeon to the presidency within an hour. But look at all the obstacles he had to overcome to do it. He got the dream and immediately there was resistance. He got out of the pit and immediately there was resistance. He was sold to Potiphar. And before long, there was resistance. He got out of Potiphar's house. convicted rapist went to jail. There was resistance. But all along the way, what did he do? He learned to press the battle. When opposition comes, when disappointment comes, don't allow it to turn to disillusionment. Don't allow it to turn to deception. Press the battle, church. Press the battle. Then they went into slavery. Over 400 years of slavery. What do you suppose that would do to a people? To be in bondage, to be owned, to be property, to be chattel for 400 years. And then there was a man. God said, Moses, I want you to press the battle. It's time. I've heard my children's cry. Let me tell you, that's the first sign of somebody that's coming out of bondage. They are crying out to God. They are believing again that not only He is, but He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek them. They are learning to press the battle in the spirit. They are learning to disregard what the temporal is saying to them, what circumstances are trying to dictate to them. And they're saying, regardless of that, I'm going to press into God. I'm going to find an answer in God. I'm going to find the strength in God. Hallelujah. Moses comes. He has a word from God. He steps out in his own strength. Cost him 40 years in the desert. Then he had an experience with God. He had a burning bush experience with God. Put something on the inside of him. That's where a lot of us are today. We're somewhere in the story of Moses. We're somewhere in the story of Joshua. We're somewhere in the story of the children of Israel. Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. Next 40 years, finding out he was nobody. And the next 40 years, proving that God was everything he needed. Yeah. Then comes the wilderness. They went through the wilderness. And folks, they were their biggest enemy in the wilderness. And they got to the place eventually where I'm telling you we are today. In the spirit of revival, this is where we are. So I want you to open your Bibles and look at something with me. Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. Chapter 5, Joshua verse 10 says this, "The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. They did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day." Verse 12, "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." Understand, we are somewhere on the way, just like the children of Israel were on the way. And in our time right now, I believe we are right here in Joshua chapter 5. We are standing at a place where we have had tremendous victory. We have overcome tremendous obstacles. And we've had tremendous, tremendous miracles move in our behalf. And right where they were was at the end of the manna and the beginning of the land flowing with milk and honey. The beginning of the place where the grapes were so big that two men had to carry them on a pole. Do you remember the picture? They are used to the manna. They are used to the old corn. They are used to 40 years of understanding what it is to live life in the wilderness, to live on lack. But now they are faced with the greatest opportunity of their life. They're standing there and they're looking across that river and they're seeing into the land of which God had promised them. Church, understand, every time God wants to move you to a higher plane, every time God wants to move you as an individual into that which He's called and prepared you for, or a church body into a higher corporate anointing, or a higher level of the functioning of the Spirit of God, you're looking across a river and you've got to make a decision. Are we satisfied with the old corn? Are we satisfied with the old ways? Or are we willing to take the challenge of a new day? Are we willing to take the challenge of change? Are we willing to press the battle to see the enemy defeated? Praise God. See, Joshua had a group of people who were in the place just like we are right now. Church, what I'm telling you is this. Every time you come into a higher plane with God, You've got to defeat the enemy. You ever watch your kids play those Nintendo games? You start out and you have some mediocre enemies. And you kind of have mediocre weapons. But every time you step up to a new level, there's a more intimidating enemy. He's more difficult to defeat. And then eventually you get to the top level and there's one big, huge, hairy demon that you've got to fight. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I know y'all don't play them, but your kids play them. You know what I'm talking about? It's the most formidable foe that you face in the video game. Joyce Meyer says it this way: new level, new devil. Welcome to a new level. I said, welcome to a new level. I said, welcome to a new level. Every time we have a victory, we've got a choice to make. Church, I'm telling you, we've had more than one victory. And we're standing today right here in this place. I'm telling you, choose today. Choose today what you're going to do. Will you go in and possess what God has for you to possess? Or will you back off and say, hey, this has been great. It's been 5 years, 4.5, 5 years, and it's been great. But I've really had all the revival I want to. I've really had all the refreshing I can stand, thank you. The manna ceased. Now listen, folks. I'm young, but I've been around in church a long time. And I would just estimate that probably, not absolutely, but probably, some of the dumbest things I've ever seen happen have happened in church. And it all centers on what I'm bringing you today, is that the church most often does not know how or when to press the battle. Let me just make it plain. There's two times that you need to press the battle. Number one is when you have resistance. And number two is when the enemy's on the run. Let me just bring it down to where we live. You know those times when it's real hard to pray? You know when that happens? If you allow the enemy to resist you successfully and you step back, he is not going to just take that one step. The minute you stop pressing the battle, the enemy's not just going to take that victory. You may think, well, I've just taken one step back. But watch out. The minute you take that step back, he is going to press the battle against you. Don't let him do it. When you get resistance in a service, when you get resistance and you sense resistance against the preaching, you sense resistance against corporate prayer, you cannot lay down at that point and say, well, I guess I'll come back tomorrow and see if it's any better. It won't be better. It'll be worse condition the next time. Any time that there is resistance in a church service, in a prayer service, in your personal prayer life, you've got to press through for a breakthrough right then. Because the only thing the enemy knows is force. I said the only thing that he knows is force. And the only language he understands is the language of boldness. You've got to press the battle. When it seems like things are hard, when it seems like things are dry, press the battle. Now, when I'm about to tell you this, please do not take as a negative, because I'm not prophesying. I'm just making an observation of things that I've seen in the past. I have seen entire church bodies take the liberty to preach for granted. Folks, let me tell you something. The liberty to preach like we're preaching here today cannot be taken for granted. The minute you lay down your arms to celebrate that grace, you watch that grace begin to evaporate. Grace costs something. And the perpetuation of that grace being in a church body will cost a continued price. The moment you stop paying the price, the grace begins to lift. That which God has developed within us could begin to wane. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, it'll not happen if you as a believer, if we as a congregation learn how to press the battle against the enemy. We learn how to take our place in prayer, in private prayer and in corporate prayer, and say, I'll not back down regardless of what I see, regardless of what I feel. I'm going to press the battle in prayer. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stand on the promise of God's word. Anytime, listen, anytime you sense in your spirit that there's dryness, anytime you sense in your spirit that you would rather be someplace else than hearing the word and experiencing the presence of God, it's time to stand up and fight. Because you've been challenged. And if you're a believer who's ready for battle, you love a challenge. Because you're going to send the devil scurrying one more time. You're going to cause the light of God's word to shine into the darkness one more time. You're going to lift the name of Jesus at which every demon trembles. Hallelujah. And you're going to stand in the authority of the believer. And you're not going to allow him to have your family. You're not going to allow him to have your prayer life. You're not going to allow him to have your ministry. You're not going to allow him to have your son or daughter. You're going to say, devil, no. I'm going to press the battle. What's the word say? What's the word say? It says, listen, what does the word say? Resist the devil and he'll flee. What does that mean? Press the battle against him. He's a coward. He's defeated. He's been stripped. The Bible says Jesus has taken his weapons, brought him to naught, destroyed him, stripped him bare. I'll not be passive. I said, I'll not be passive concerning my pursuit of God. I'll be passionate. I'll be persistent. And I'll pursue. You know, the reason that a lot of people don't have a walk in the Word is because they get resistance. The reason a lot of people don't have an active prayer life is because they get resistance. Well, imagine that. Imagine that. You know, I don't know what I expected before I really developed a prayer walk. I think I expected angels to be singing in the morning. I expected Michael to come and grab the sheet maybe and pull it off and say, come, thou servant of the Most High God. The presence of the Lord awaits you in the dining room. You suppose maybe somebody has experienced something like that? No, you know what? You've got to come the same way. What way is that? You've got to go through boot camp. You've got to develop a desire on the inside of you that's bigger than any obstacle that the enemy will ever throw at you. You've got to develop a persistence. Because folks, if you can't have a persistent walk with God, if you can't develop an intimate, close walk with God, when the greatest challenge in your life is whether or not to get a burgundy Bible or a brown leather Bible for Christmas, if you can't develop an intimate walk with God when that's the greatest challenge you face, how do you suppose you're going to face the enemy in mortal combat? How do you suppose you're going to face the enemy in taking a city, a state, or a nation for God and not fold under the pressure? Tell you, the children of Israel had something to decide. And we stand at this place today, church. Have you had enough of revival? Have you had enough of the move of God? Or will you understand that He has taken us to a new level? And we're standing here like the children of Israel, facing that river, facing Canaan land, and saying in our hearts, do we have the courage? No, do we have the guts to take a step across the river and to move into a new day? But Mark, I like the old corn. I love the old corn. We grind it up and we make cornbread. And we love that manna. Oh, it's just so wonderful. We love the manna. We don't want to give up the manna. And we know if we cross the river, the manna will cease. I've got news for you. If you don't cross the river, the manna will cease. It's obedience to God that takes you into higher and higher levels. It's continual obedience that will get you there to the mark that God has called for you to take. The manna ceased on the morrow. Verse 13. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Here's a picture of somebody who knows their God. Those that know their God will be mighty and they'll do exploits. Here he is. He's facing possible resistance now. Your victory is dependent upon your discernment. Your victory is dependent upon your discernment. In the last days, the church's victory will be dependent upon discernment. Here stood a man before him with a sword drawn. And I'm so glad that Joshua didn't cower back and say, oh my God, the enemy's come. Let's just throw in the towel right now. No, he went up to them. Because you know what? A believer who's armed for battle loves a challenge. I said a believer who's armed for battle. They know who they are in Christ. The blood of Jesus is covering them. They will not shrink back from a battle. They will understand that to take greater and greater victories, we've got to learn to press in and press in and keep pressing in. That regardless of how good it gets, or regardless of how things may not seem to be moving, either case, we're going to press the battle. When do I press the battle? When there's resistance. When do I press the battle? When the enemy is fleeing. Because I found something out. When I resist him, he is going to flee. When I use the weapon of the name of Jesus, when I quote the written word, the enemy is already on the run. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not looking at that which is seen, the temporal. I'm looking at that which cannot be seen. I'm looking at the anointing of God. I'm looking at the plan of God. I'm looking at the power of God. Church, our church is in need of more prayer covering. Our pastor is so far out there in faith. The ministers who travel out of this church are so far out there in faith. Let me tell you something. We have got to increase the prayer cover. We cannot afford to back off right now. Do you think that this church has the attention of God? Most certainly it does. Do you think it may have the attention of the dark regions? I say most certainly it does. It would be foolish of us right now to lay down our weapons and just continue to rejoice. We've got to keep our weapons strapped on, just like Nehemiah on the wall, building the wall, making up the hedge, standing in the gap. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. They were prepared for battle, even though there was rejoicing in their hearts that the city of God was being built, the kingdom of God was being built. It's time, church, to raise back up and get into the prayer closet, get into the corporate prayer meetings. We've got to have more prayer cover now than we ever have. We've got to have more intercession now than we ever have. You've got to be faithful to meet Jesus, because discernment is absolutely necessary for end time harvest. I'm passionate about this, but you know what? At this point in our life, we cannot afford to be doing that which we think is best to do. And there is such a grace on this house. I'm concerned for a lot of people that just seem to think that whatever they want to do is going to be okay. We don't have time, church. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. If you're going to do anything for him, take up the sword right now. Put your hand to the plow right now and begin to do what he's called you to do. Our church, our staff needs a prayer cover. If you think we're going to affect the city, we need more prayer cover. Look again and again at how many times they had victory and how God caused them to keep pursuing. He got them to the river. They crossed the river. He got them to Jericho. The walls came down flat. Then they couldn't even camp there. They'd just seen a tremendous miracle. The walls came down flat, and God commanded everyone. He said, the walls are going to come down and you're going to go straight into the city. You're not going to find a breach. You're not going to find a door or a gate that's been burned down or broken down. I'm going to knock the wall down for you, and then you're to go, every man, straight into the city. Straight into your possessions. Straight into that which God has for this church. Wouldn't it have been foolish at that point to say, let's lay down our weapons right now and let's start the Church of the Fallen Wall denomination? Church, change is coming. Church, more change is coming. Church, choose you this day whether thou shalt stay with the old corn or whether you shall go in and possess the land. I've been reading a book called Critical Mass. It's by a man named Mario Murillo. And in the book, he likens revival to, please don't let this set you off, but he likes it to nuclear fission. nuclear reaction. And he talks about how that God will bring a core of people together who are hungry for a move of God. They want to seek God with their whole heart. They want to see God move. And he brings them together and they begin to pray. And as they begin to pray, other people come in. Other people come into the body who have a similar heart. The book is called Critical Mass. Now, I don't understand very much about these principles, but in very simple terms, when there is enough radioactive material brought together and you shoot a neutron beam into that mass and it begins to activate, it begins to get active, it begins to cause those molecules to begin to move, eventually you're going to release the power of the atom, just like an atom bomb. But you've got to first of all attain critical mass. That is having enough of that material together to sustain a nuclear reaction. I'd suggest to you that God has been over the past 4 years causing people who have a heart for revival to be attracted to this place. Now watch this, watch this. They keep putting nuclear material in there. They keep shooting that neutron beam in there. And just before the nuclear reaction begins to take place, something peculiar happens. Where once there was activity, once there was an expansion, all of a sudden, it looks like all activity ceases. And that nuclear material doesn't expand, it actually contracts. At that point, right there, is where 90% of the revivals that have ever hit the face of the earth die. They have had tremendous moves of the Spirit of God, wave after wave of His glory. But folks, if revival stays in the reactor and never reaches the streets of the city, you've fallen far too short. You failed to press the battle. 90% of the revivals stop right there. Why? The prayer covering wanes. People are discouraged. They're worn out. They've been going to the power tower. They've been going to 6 o'clock prayer. It seems like everything we work for, it seems like things may be slowing down instead of speeding up. And they begin to be moved by what they see rather than the prayers that have already been invested. It's at that point right there that the scientist has to make a determination that regardless of what may seem to be going on, we're not only going to keep that neutron beam pointed right there, but we've made a decision we're going to keep pumping more and more into it until we actually have nuclear reaction. Church, that's where the church is today. I'll tell you, something begins to happen when this stage is reached. Murillo calls it the dark night of the soul. Seems like everything you worked for has stopped moving. Seems like in your life as an individual, everything you've been praying for is at a dead standstill. Seems like nothing's going to work. Keep pressing the battle. Let me tell you what happens when that nuclear reaction takes place. It sends out radiation. During the Great Awakening, Murillo reports this, during the Great Awakening, there was an actual point offshore of New England, an actual point, a line, a demarcation, if you will, that ships coming into that line, once they crossed the line, the crews and the passengers would fall down under conviction of the Spirit of God. And when they would dock, they would roll off of the ship, either laughing or crying, because salvation had touched their heart. Church, that's where I'm telling you. That's where I'm telling you where we are today. You say, well, it's been good. Well, we're in revival. Yes, we are. But revival that does not impact the streets of Fort Worth, that does not impact the state and impact the nation, is not gone far enough. Get your fire back. Get your passion back. Does anybody sense what I'm talking about? Church, it's time to press the battle. I want you to say that with me. Say, press the battle. Press the battle. Say it again. Press. Press. One more time. Press. Oh, let's give him a big praise right now. Hallelujah.